I'm the American Jezebel.
You're talking nonsense. This is the Greasy Rapidian.
You're talking nonsense.
Who's up for talking nonsense?
And I'm trying not to yell, but I can see I'm already yelling. I'm moving back a little
bit further. Every episode you have to move further back.
I know, I'm going to be in the other room next time.
This episode, like our two previous episodes, is sponsored by Sustaina Butter. Again, alleged sponsor, pre-sponsor. We have no real agreement with Sustaina Butter, but we support what he's doing, and we think he would support what we're doing.
Uh-huh. And we did have a tagline for him, but we're just too dang lazy
to look up what our own tagline was.
Or to write
was.
It down.
Something about how it's nut butter that's good for your digestion.
It was an alliteration, so... Yeah. Nutritious, nutty, delicate digestion.
Something like that, yes.
We can't remember.
We're all about delicate digestion here, talking nonsense.
I don't know. Maybe he has got a better one, and he'll give it to us, and we'll actually know that one.
If we actually had a conversation with our sponsor, he might give us some tips.
Maybe tomorrow we'll check in with him, see how he's listened, I hope.
I hope so.
All right, let's move on, shall we? What do we got today?
So last week, we were talking, Greasy Rapidian, about trail names.
Trail names!
Yes, we gave a little background on trail names and what they are and why we have trail names and talked a little bit about yours.
Yeah.
But we realized we did not touch on my trail name.
No, that you got when you were hiking the Tallahatchie Trail.
The Tallahatchie Trail?
Never mind, it's a Trump thing. I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
That does not come in here.
That's just complete nonsense.
Yes, it's a different nonsense. Okay. Because I actually do have a couple of trail names.
You?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, but my main trail name, the American Jezebel, it comes from another podcast, actually.
Another podcast?
Yes.
Our first intra-podcast.
We're building an extended podcast universe.
Right, because it's going to happen. I think it's also going to happen later in the show, too. We're going to have one of our loyal listeners.
Yes, who is also on another podcast. One of the many that we're in the extended podcast universe with.
Yeah.
Yes, but this podcast, The Dollop, they talk about, it's a blend
little gothy.
Comedy, a blend of comedy and history. I guess we are now a sponsor of The Dollop because we're plugging them. It's a great podcast, two comedians, chatting about history, riffing.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
And on one episode, they were talking about our president, Andrew Jackson.
Oh!
Yes. And at one point, they were talking about his wife, Rachel Jackson.
Rachel.
Yes. And when Rachel Jackson showed up to Washington, when Andrew Jackson was elected president, she arrived in Washington, and she was from the West at the time. Tennessee was the Western United States. And she was not accepted by the Polite Society of Washington, D.C., because she smoked a pipe. She had at one point married Andrew Jackson when her divorce from her first husband was not completely finalized. She was a scandalous woman, and so the newspapers called her all kinds of names, including American Jezebel. And when I heard that, I just knew. I love this name. So I am the American Jezebel.
And if you haven't seen our picture.
Yes.
On the podcast, because we're trying to get it on iTunes and Spotify. But yes. We also have
announcements. We have a Twitter account. We now have a Twitter account. So our listeners can follow us at American Jezebel. Talking nonsense. And our photo will be me in my motorcycle jacket.
Scooter jacket.
Scooter jacket. Oh, R.I.P. me in my scooter jacket that is my girl group, the American Jezebels.
Yep. And we're going to start selling some swag. So if you like the jacket, we're getting big quick. We're over 100 listeners. We're getting huge. So we're going to start selling some swag. And if you want to be a part, I think it's only... females that are allowed to be a part of the gang.
Except for the anarcho-syndicalists.
except the anarcho-syndicalists, but that's another story.
Yes.
And so if you want to join the American Jezebel scooter gang, you can send us an email, because we have an email account,
too. We also now have an email, so if you have questions, concerns, corrections, you can email us at AmericanJezebel.GreasyRapidian@gmail.com.
All lowercase?
All lowercase.
Say it again.
AmericanJezebel.GreasyRapidian@gmail.com. We can put it in the show notes as well.
Oh, that'd be awesome, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put a link. Mm-hmm. To that and our Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, you send us an email and you can too join the American Jezebels gang.
Scooter gang.
Scooter gang, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're nice jackets. They're actually,
they've got a nice little pocket on the sleeve. They're all weather, warm. They'll be great for the fall as it comes around.
Absolutely. Ike jacket. They're Ike jackets.
They are, yes.
Third president already. We've named three presidents.
We are dropping presidents this episode.
Yeah. And we had one president last time, Gerald R. Ford.
We did, yeah. I think we're
so
going to.
Four presidents.
We're going to try to work them all in. We're going to get to the lesser known ones pretty soon.
This is going to be hard.
Yeah, there's a couple that I always forget.
Okay, we're not going to pop them out right now.
No.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
Agree to disagree? Dun, 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 dun. We'll put some theme music in.
That's not the theme music.
No, the theme music, though, is brought to you by Kevin McLeod at Incompetent.com. So he's providing all of our theme music and background music and stuff like that. So you can find some great music. There are thousands, literally. I don't know this guy, but we need to get him on the show because he must be in his basement just popping out 10 or 20 songs a day. Awesome. So Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. We should put that in the notes too,
I suppose. We'll put those in the show notes too.
And so we got another email. Yes, and so this isn't so much agree to disagree. Well, it kind of is, because in this email, Debbie, you're talking nonsense, Debbie. Debbie, a new Debbie, she has said that she likes the show and she would like us to tackle more deep and serious issues, like kind of like the ethicist in the New York Times Magazine. Or what was the other one, Dear Prudence?
I think it was Dear Prudence.
Yeah. I don't think we're up for that, because we are just talking nonsense.
This is all about nonsense, and ethical advice is not nonsense.
It is not. Dr. No Nonsense could come in and give some advice.
It's important stuff.
What would Jermaine say? It's important.
Is that your New Zealand accent?
Australian accent. It's business time.
Guys, Jermaine is not in the room.
No, neither is Britt. Britt. Anyway, we're just popping out all of it. Okay, so let's get to the heart of the matter here, shall we? So, Debbie, we're going to agree to disagree, because you're just talking nonsense more than most of you
have. Talking nonsense.
Just agree to disagree on that one. So, let's move on to
But thank you for writing in, Debbie. We appreciate the feedback.
We really do.
We love hearing back from our
listeners. Oh, Debbie has some nice
our
things
listeners.
To say.
Yes.
Debbie has some really nice things to
we
say.
We really, really appreciate that.
She said, the two hosts are like click and clack. One of them is just yucking and yucking, laughing like a hyena, and the other one has expertise.
I don't know if I would call it expertise.
Okay, but the yucking.
But
the,
I do appreciate
the
it.
The cackling, I think,
the
is
The cackling
correct.
Is
That's
real.
That's why I'm in the other room. I'm looking further back yet. I'm watching it spike up.
One day we will have a second mic so we can just turn
it
down.
We will. When that first sponsorship comes through from some mic dealer, if you're out there, Sure Mics, if you're out there listening, help us out.
We will be happy to
somebody,
give you
anybody,
a shout
help
out.
Us out.
We need to turn one hose down. So,
this week we watched a Netflix original.
Another Netflix original. We're sticking to the theme right now.
Yeah, The Kissing Booth.
The Kissing Booth.
Kissing Booth.
And we told you all to go in with an open heart.
Open mind. Like
open mind.
Reaching out your hand. Romeo and Juliet. Don't make this awkward. Just watch the movie. Okay.
I have to say, I did try my best to do that. Maybe not my best. I was at 80% trying to be an open mind about the movie.
Yeah.
Because I did shut it off the first time.
I shut it off much earlier. I shut it off at 33 minutes, I believe, the first time.
I think I shut it off at like 58 minutes in, maybe.
Yeah.
I was probably, I got maybe halfway through the first time. And so,
this is our second go at it.
It was.
It's at an hour and 44 minutes. They had to restrain me from turning it off at 1:31. I had to be physically restrained.
I said we only have like 10 minutes of the movie left. That's what they said.
We got 13 minutes. You can make it.
So
I had to be restrained.
So let's talk about the kissing booth.
Okay.
Because, you know, we did say let's go in with an open mind.
Yeah.
Let's try to watch this movie.
It
really was the genesis in some ways of this podcast.
It really was.
The kissing booth was.
Yeah.
So
it was not the actual, because it was Lady Bird, which we haven't watched yet.
Lady
Bird
will.
Is the whole that got this whole thing started.
Yes.
And we watched some good coming of age dramas, and then we said, hey, let's just watch a bunch, and then oh my gosh, once we unleashed the Kraken did come.
Really is the anti Lady Bird, isn't it?
Yes, this is. Okay, so give us an overview of
this
movie.
So, yeah, let's...
Just give, like, a basic, in case somebody did not watch it.
In case you did not.
And we're going to just recommend that you not at this point. Now, do not open your heart. Do not stretch out your hand.
Now that this is out, never, ever watch it. Thumbs down on Netflix. Report it to Netflix.
Even if you have to slow jog.
Slow jog away from it.
Slow jog
away
from it.
Even if you can't run. Slow jog 5 miles away from it. Oh. So The Kissing Booth is the story of Elle Evans.
I'm not clear if she's Shelley, Ellen, or...
I think her actual name is Shelley, because she hates being called Shelley, and I...
But other people call her Ellen, and so we're not clear.
But she goes by Elle.
Yes.
She gives us a rundown of her entire life from age 0 to 16, which is how old she is when the movie starts.
Entering her junior year in high school.
Yeah, going into junior year in high school. And she establishes that she has a best friend, that they were born on the same day in the same hospital. Their moms were best friends. They are connected by their love of dance.
Yes.
And by the strict set of rules that they laid out when they were 6 years old.
6 years old, 20
for their friendship.
Some rules.
There's, yeah, something like that.
Because I think they get to 23 at one point. They mentioned
do
23.
Because they really do jump around. They don't give us the straight up list. They just
they
jump around.
They briefly
and, like,
showed it, but we were not
we did not pause on that part.
We paused the movie 1 point.
We
two
did.
Points. We paused it at 2 points. The second point was when I had to be physically restrained from turning it off.
We did pause it twice, and we did not pause it on the list of rules. But they have a list of rules that govern their friendship, and then they love dance, specifically
correct.
A game in an arcade where it's like Dance Dance Revolution.
Dance,
I know
Revolution.
Already that I'm getting this
correct.
Wrong, but,
you correct, I
but I think that's what it is, and they have their little dance routines that they do, and they love ice cream and each other.
Yes.
And then throughout their childhood, they were sometimes protected by... her best friend Lee's older brother, Noah, who just shows up to fight people and give them wedgies.
Correct.
And then her mother dies.
Yes, a
fairly
long,
early on,
death.
Although we're not sure because she seems to be in the hospital for 7 years.
5 to 7 years. And she birthed another kid at some
point. At
some point during
that time. But
so we're not clear.
Not entirely sure.
This
so
may
she's
be
got
the point
her...
where we bring in Jason Mantzoukas.
Mantzoukas?
Yeah. Jason Mantzoukas.
What are the rules of this movie?
What are the rules of this movie? We were not really clear.
I'm
the
not, yeah.
Time is really fluid in this whole...
What was the timeline of... It seemed to take place over an entire school year.
Yeah.
But also 2 weeks.
Yeah. It was difficult.
Because it does go from back to school...
Correct.
...to prom to leaving for college.
No, back to school to the fundraiser...
To
prom, to
leaving for college the day after prom.
Yeah, and it all seems like it's about 4 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unclear. Time seems to be meaningless in this universe.
Yes.
So
same with the mom stay in the hospital.
Yes.
Her,
so the mom
imminent death.
At some point goes into the hospital and dies. We don't know from what.
No.
Because that's not important really to the movie at all.
The mom never says a word.
No.
So she's really not important.
Another movie that we will watch down the line, another Netflix original that just came out, To All the Boys I've Loved Before, deals with some similar themes in a much better way. So, not shocking for those of you who did watch The Kissing Booth.
Yeah.
But it does touch on some of the same things and actually talks about them. Like, how would it be if your mother died when you were young?
Yeah. No, I think we actually have to have an agreement between ourselves right now that we're not going to say there's other movies that do it better than The Kissing Booth.
But you're right. Yes.
It's a given.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so back to the main plot.
Okay.
So she's raised by her single father,
correct,
who seems to be the classic dad who does, who's doing his best, but he's a single dad. And how do you dad when there is no mom?
It's impossible. And he also has a very strange accent.
It's unclear.
Yeah, so we believe he's from the bayou.
Yes, we think he may be Cajun, so we called him Crawdad.
What was his name?
Crawdad.
That's a great trail name.
So Crawdad is, she's got her loving
words,
but ineffectual father.
Dad.
Crawdad. And her younger brother, who also does not have a name, like the mom.
Little bro.
She's just little bro.
Stink Man or something, as Dad calls him. He's got two trail names.
He just has no real names.
No. And if you stay for the post-credits, you'll get to see all the scenes he was in that got cut out.
He did get cut out a lot of scenes.
He is in like two scenes in the movie, and he says like one thing, but he got cut out of about 20 scenes.
I think there was a lot more Little Brother.
Yeah, Little Bro, he ended up on the editing floor like Kevin Costner in The Big Chill.
Yeah, yeah. So she's raised by her single crawdad and her stinky little brother. And she's best friends with her friend Lee, whose family is obscenely wealthy, and we do not know why.
No.
His mom is Molly Ringwald, and his dad is some dude I've never seen before
in my
life.
Who has a strange accent as well.
Yeah. So,
and we're not clear. The accents were really unclear in the movie as well.
Yeah.
So at this point, I would say there's other movies that do accents better.
Okay, we agreed we're not going to compare this to other movies. Oh, their families are best friends. She's best friends with
her
son.
Sunday together.
They have lunch every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
She goes over to their house, which is like, it's enormous. The
it's
people,
like the porn producer in The Big Lebowski's house. That's the house they're living in.
You can run off of one level, of which there are like four.
Yes.
You can jump off the second level into the like Olympic-sized pool
that
then looks out over Los Angeles.
Yes.
It's just, so I don't know what the father does.
I'm thinking porn producer. Which brings us to another.
That would have been a way better
movie.
Was
that the part where I was going to stop it when she was like, I'm watching a porn, and and the best friend says,
I think we almost stopped it there.
I think that was a clue. I think they're throwing clues to us.
I'm doing a much worse job of just giving you an explanation of this movie in 5 seconds.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting
you. Okay, so baseline, she's best friends. They have lunch every Sunday. Everything is great. The older brother is hot and gets into fights all the time, but she has a secret crush on him because he's hot. That's why. And then goes back to school. There's all kinds of shenanigans that happen. She and her best friend who run the dance club decide for the school fundraiser that they should run a kissing booth. Then lots of shenanigans ensue to get people involved in the kissing booth. The kissing booth is wildly successful.
Spawning various romances.
And she ends up, including her and the older motorcycle riding fighting all the time brother. They start a secret romance, and then even though she's violating a rule of the friendship, which
rule
is
number nine,
relatives are off limits for best friends.
We'll get back to this rule because we're confused by it.
What are the rules of this movie?
Jason,
and eventually,
what's up, jerk?
Eventually the brother finds out, the best friend finds out that she has a secret romance with the brother.
Yeah.
Everything falls apart.
Yeah.
She goes to prom. The prom theme is memories, and they've recreated the kissing booth because it was such a seminal moment in all these teens' lives. The kissing booth at the school fundraiser.
It is like they have physically planted it into a museum.
They have made a museum of the kissing booth. Everyone applauds them. The brother declares his love and she rejects him.
Yes.
Then she realizes she made a mistake. She confesses she tells the best friend he's happy for her. Then she rushes to go catch the brother. she is talking to the best friend in the car, and he's wearing his mask. Don't spoil this part. Okay, I won't spoil it. So she confesses her love. She and the brother reconcile. They have a whirlwind romance for a couple more weeks. He goes off to college, and she rides off on his motorcycle into the sunset, thinking, "Wow, like, what have I learned from this whole thing? It was all because of a kissing booth."
Mm-hmm. Roll credits.
That's the basic plot line of what happens.
That is a basic plot line. Now, shall we unpack it?
Let's talk about it.
Just right from the get-go. First day of junior year, she rips her pants and she can't wear her tiny pants anymore.
Because they go to some kind of private school where they all have a uniform.
But there's not much of a code.
Other people seem to wear non-uniform. The OMG girls are just wearing other outfits all the time.
They are. Yearbook guy seems to be.
Yeah. So either there's a very strict dress code, but she and the best friend seem to be wearing uniforms a lot.
Yeah. As does the older brother, but he wears it all roughy scruffy. He doesn't tuck in his shirt, and his tie is halfway down, and his hair hangs in his face. So yeah. It doesn't seem like it's much of a dress code.
Unclear. But she rips her pants.
Rips her pants, and her backup pants are at the laundry, and her backup pants are at the laundry, the dry cleaner. Because they can't do laundry. Crawdad can't do laundry. But Molly Ringwald, who lives in a $10 million house, does laundry.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just, what are the rules of this movie? Okay, so she puts on her ninth grade skirt, which is shockingly small. So small, in fact, that you can see her lady bums, as she calls them, her lady bums, hanging out. And so she goes to school, and everybody at school is oogling her, and then... what's his name? The fourth string tight end for the Cleveland Browns? Carducci?
Yeah, it's like Kajusty or something like that.
Crystal Carducci.
Yeah.
He grabs her lady bum, and then they get in a big fight.
Yeah.
And they're sent to detention. Okay, so this is our first big scene to unpack.
Yeah.
Because this is where if you can get past this...
You're in. If you're like, yes, the physical comedy was great. The jokes were great. Lady bum, hilarious.
Hilarious. And I don't even know where to begin. I just have questions. I have so many questions. Because so they get sent to detention. Noah, who gets in a fight with Carducci, 10th string, 4th string tight end for the Cleveland Browns.
9 minutes in, fourth time we've seen Noah physically beating someone up.
And so fourth fight in 9 minutes. Yeah. And then we see her lady bums for the first time. We'll see them many times throughout because that's a running theme too. Or her being embarrassed to take off her clothes, but she takes them off many, many times again. But they end up in detention, the three of them. And yearbook guy, I forgot yearbook guy was in detention. This is my first question. How did yearbook guy end up in detention?
There are so many other movies inside of this movie. Like, there are so many storylines that are kind of happening under the surface that would have been way better. That would have been, like, I want to know what's happening there. I mean, obviously, I'm not even going to say they would have been way better movies because any of them would have been better movies. What does the father do?
Correct.
Where is Crawdad from?
Correct.
Who is yearbook guy? What did he do to get detention? What happened between these two brothers?
Yes.
Because there is like a tragic story happening underneath all of that.
Well, yeah. Little Lee has been completely wedged into submission his whole life.
Yeah.
Because we see like three wedgies in the first 9 minutes too. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so yes.
So yearbook guy is my first question.
Who also does not have a name. He's just called yearbook guy.
Correct. But also it's the first ripoff because it's like the Breakfast Club in detention. So it's the first direct ripoff of another movie. Later on, he takes her on the motorcycle to a gazebo in the rain, which I believe is the actual gazebo from the Sound of Music. I would not be surprised if it was on the set, and they said, "Let's use that gazebo again."
Wow, it'll be a throwback to that great scene in 16 going on 17 from The Sound of Music.
Correct. They're in detention, and then she's gonna date Carducci because she said she'll give him her phone number if he'll wear the tiny skirt, and so he does.
Charmed by the guy who groped her on the first day of school.
Correct.
Charmed into agreeing to go out on a date with him.
Correct.
Because he puts the tiny skirt on.
Correct. She goes on the date. She gets stood up. Then she goes to the dance hall with her best friend, and they dance to get over it.
He is nothing but supportive. He drives her to the date. He drives her to the date. She's nervous, and he's like, "You're going to be great. You're awesome." He's going to see how baller you are, because that's what teens say. And then when the date goes bad, he takes her out dancing. Yep. He pumps her back up.
Yep.
He's being a great supportive best friend. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the guy that stood her up said, "Hey, I couldn't come because Noah has threatened to beat me up if I go out with you. And he's threatened to beat up any guy that asks you out."
And even creepier, he was like, he said it in like a mafia way. He was like, "Things will not be good for you if you go to the date." Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to end up in somebody's trunk of somebody's car? Yeah. So he's threatened every boy in school that if they ask her out. So she's never been kissed, never been asked out.
So then she calls him on the phone and they have this ridiculous argument, which is how her character is the whole time. Ridiculous argument, ridiculous argument, ridiculous argument.
And she says, "The days of you controlling my life are over." And then he smiles and he goes, "We'll see about that."
And then they hang up.
End of scene.
Okay.
That's how every scene ends. That's
scene one. Scene two that we need to talk about is the party. Because then they end up going to because the parents are out of town, so they're having a party.
When you're a porn producer, you gotta travel a lot.
Yeah. So, they have a party, and everybody from the school comes, which is great. Everybody.
Yeah.
Yearbook guy.
Yearbook guy's there. Nerdy. The people that we know are nerds because they're wearing their headgear to the party.
Yes.
And bow ties.
Yes. And picking their
and
nose.
And, like, pocket protectors and things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, they come to the party, too. Yep. Everybody.
Yeah, it's
everybody.
I guess it's a small school, so you know, to fill up that enormous house, they had to invite everybody from the school, including the nerds.
Yep. So our heroine, Elle, decides to start drinking with the really popular girls, the OMGs, who are our second ripoff, because they're a direct ripoff of the Plastics, except they have no character whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They're just complete shallow ripoff. So they're there, and they start feeding their Jello shots. Drink green, drink pink. And so she drinks a lot and gets drunk. And now we're like 20 minutes in and she takes off her clothes for the second time. And she's up on the table stripping down and saying, "Everybody go skinny dipping." And all the guys are googly eyed. Ooh, there she is in her underwear. And so then she does that. And so then Noah scoops her up and takes her up to his room.
Yeah, and then she wakes up the next morning and she's wearing his football jersey or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then wakes up sleeping in his bed.
But we just have to stop for 1 second. So he's like 6'6" and she's like 4'10", but his football jersey doesn't cover her underwear because it's too small.
Yeah.
And so
when he at one point rests his hand like on her shoulder, his hand is the size of her entire head.
And her head's about his elbow height. But I'm still at the jersey that somehow his football jersey is not long enough to cover her underwear.
When it would, in fact, go to her knees.
Go to her, if not her ankles. So I'm just, what are the rules of this movie? Okay, continue.
I'm just so furious. Like, I just don't even want to talk about it. She wakes up in his bed.
Yeah.
She's wearing his football jersey, and she checks to make sure that her underwear is on. Ugh, another
And then he comes in having showered, and he's just wearing a towel. And then there's this scene where she hides behind the drapes because now he can see her underwear because her jersey is too small.
Inexplicably.
Inexplicably. I guess his mom washed it, right?
And then there's another...
That's all we can say. His mom washed it. So she's hiding behind the drapes, and then she's like, "Hand me my shorts." And he's like, "Oh, no." And we don't know where the shorts came from because she didn't have shorts.
I think they're his shorts.
They must be his, which are quite large. Like, when she puts them on, they're like basketball, you know, mid-90s basketball shorts, right? And so anyway, the drapes get pulled down. They tussle. They roll around, and they get pinned in the drapes. And she said, "Oh, I touched it. I touched it." She then says later, it wasn't so bad. Even the accidental groping or something like that.
Yeah, she stares moonily out the window and daydreams about the accidental groping.
Correct.
Afterwards.
Correct.
That was her reaction.
Correct. Yeah. We cannot sigh heavy. I'm moving in for a sigh.
Yeah, just... Every single moment of this movie.
Okay.
The physical comedy is
not
terrible.
Every single moment, because there is a star by far.
There is. I was just gonna say, in terms of the accidental groping, it is like bad. It's just that the physical comedy is tossed throughout the entire movie, and it is all just ludicrous.
Okay, and we have to go to scene number 3.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just want to, like, it's just.
Because it's more physical comedy.
Okay, it's another scene of physical
comedy. They're making the kissing booth, which turns out to be just the bomb. It's got, like, chaser lights, little bulbs. It's got a neon sign with arrows. I mean,
apparently,
they killed it.
They're really good at it.
Yeah, because they were making it in the art department.
Mm-hmm.
And he was painting the letters and she was painting the background. But
and then somehow they made a neon sign.
They crushed it. They made a neon sign and chaser bulbs. I mean, they just absolutely crushed it.
Yeah, so she's still mooning after Noah.
Correct.
After the really romantic time that they got rolled up in a curtain and
Correct.
Then she groped him.
Correct. And but she doesn't want to tell him, so they're painting the sign, and her, and by far the star, Joel Courtney, Lee, starring as Lee Flynn.
Yes.
Yeah. He decides to throw paint on her. And they're not wearing their uniforms in this scene, but they were in their previous visit to the art room. So they're preparing for the paint, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what are the rules?
Paint scouting movie. Oh.
And so he throws paint on her. She throws paint on him. They just start throwing paint all over the art department. There's no teacher in sight. And
every time I see a food fight in movies, things like this, I'm always like, who's cleaning this up?
Yeah.
So, who knows? But they are just having a blast
throwing paint
at each other.
Yeah.
Rubbing it in their faces.
Oh, just getting after it.
Which, what kind of paint was that, too?
It dried really quickly.
It did.
Yeah. And so she went to the bathroom to wash it off, but she's confused.
Because she's covered in paint on her face.
And she doesn't know. She's only a junior at the school, so
yeah.
She's not clear where she's at. So she goes to the boys' locker room.
She starts washing the paint off, and she looks up
she
in the mirror.
She takes her shirt off first. She takes her shirt off. So third time now that she's taken her clothes off in the movie. And she, again, just a reminder, she's never had a boyfriend, never kissed a boy, never anything. And so...
But as someone who was once a teenage girl, I will say whenever you go into the bathroom after a paint fight, the first thing you do is take your shirt off.
Okay.
Yeah. Because well, you're... It's dried paint, so, like, what are you going to do?
Gotta get that shirt off.
Yeah. Wash it? I don't know what she was going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. So she does that, and then she starts to wash her face.
And then she looks up.
In the mirror.
And there are a bunch of guys who look like they just come from football practice.
It does look like that.
Except yearbook guys there.
He's everywhere.
My favorite character.
What if it's like actually there's like yearbook triplets and that's how they're able to be everywhere at the same time? Because he's in every scene.
Maybe
he's
they're
there
at Sky High.
Pictures.
And he's the one that the cheerleader.
He can just split
can
himself into like 5 different people. Because he's in every scene. He's there all the time.
We're 34 minutes in. We got to go. We got 20 minutes. Okay.
So anyway. Okay. Yeah. So she's like, oh my God. Oh no. I took off my shirt in the bathroom. I'm covered in paint. And now I'm in front of all of these half naked football players.
Some of them are in jock straps. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
Some of them are in jock straps and yearbook guy is fully clothed. So
again, this is a movie written by an alien who has seen 4 movies about high school and
Correct.
Then wrote their own.
Correct. Yep. That's what we're going with. This is one writer who has never been on the planet Earth, but has seen The Breakfast Club, Sound of Music, Mean Girls.
Okay. Yeah.
And so anyway, Noah says, you got to get out of here, Elle. And she says, you don't tell me what to do. And then she does this sexy dance for them and bends over and picks up her shirt and strutting around as they're
mm-hmm.
hooping and hollering.
Mm-hmm. And then walks out. And he looks at her like, ugh. I'm going to get you. Smiles a little smile.
That incredible
This flirtatious banter thing we have going on where I try to control you and then you act out against it. But really, you find my control really charming.
Okay, so then the kissing booth happens.
All of it is just inexplicable.
And the kissing booth is just complete nonsense. people are paying $5 for a kiss, and they are, and like, getting after it.
And the twist on it is that the people who are being kissed are blindfolded. So yes. They don't know who's coming up to pay to kiss them. And they are just making out with whoever shows up. The popular girls, the knockoff plastics, are making out with the nerds and their bow ties. And they're loving it. And the crowd is hooting and hollering. Oh, yeah. Woo. Everybody's just making out all over the place. The lines are super long. And the star by far, Joel Courtney, the best friend.
The best friend.
Been nothing but a supportive best friend.
We should get Joel Courtney on the show.
You know what?
Let's call him.
That's a great idea.
Call him up right now.
Who are we calling? Okay.
All right. Let's call Joel Courtney. Oh, it's busy.
Oh, Joel's not available.
Okay. We'll get him on the next show. All
right. We'll call him next time.
Okay. I'm yelling again. But we're going to yuck it up with Joel Courtney to start by far.
Yeah. I think we really need to hear from Joel Courtney.
Okay. And so anyway, he gets shenagled and finagled into kissing.
Yeah. So he puts on the blindfold. A mystery hottie comes running up. She pays her $5 and she kisses him.
And he takes off his blindfold.
And he goes,
whoa. The kiss is so good.
Yes. And then they are just immediately in love.
Yep. They go play ring toss and win a giant bear.
And then they date for the rest of the movie.
You got to stay for the final scene to see that she actually wins the giant bear at ring toss, because
that was another one that they cut.
17-year-old girls love ring toss.
Giant bears. Oh, so they're just, you know, he kisses her while he's blindfolded. We don't know why she likes him or kisses him, who she is. We learn her name is Rachel, and that is literally all we know. But she's literally a hot girl who likes him, and so then they're just in love for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
So then Elle gets,
not too much about this because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so but Elle gets
kissed by Noah.
Gets kissed by Noah. Fireworks go off. Around them. All around and around them. The music just explodes. Yeah, the kissing booth is like, all the bulbs explode on the kissing booth. It's that amazing.
Yeah. Because then the next day, they're at the beach and they're at a party.
Oh, yeah, but the last thing is everybody applauds them kissing at the kissing booth.
Correct.
The crowds of fellow students just erupt into applause when they make out. Yeah.
Next day they go to a party at the beach, and she's at the beach, and some inexplicable creepy dude comes up and he wants to go skinny dipping with her. And then Noah comes in, and then there's this whole back and forth and bad things are said. And then he tackles the guy, and he hurts him, and the crowd goes silent. And then she slow jogs home, starts to again.
Every time something happens, she just, like, slow jogs away from it.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm just going to run home. And then she slow jogs away from whatever's happening. And so he catches up to her.
Gets her in the car, yells at her.
Oh, yeah.
Get in the car. And then she gets in the car. And, yeah. Oh,
and then they drive to the Hollywood sign.
Yes.
And she's like, how many girls do you take here? And he's like, I only come here alone. And then she's completely, again, charmed by this.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, he's sharing the secret place he has. He's just telling me he's never taken another girl here.
Oh, we missed when she has the pros and cons, though, didn't we?
Oh, we did.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So we got to go. We got to go back.
We got to go back a second, because after
before the party, after they make out of the kissing booth, she's slow jogging home. And he rides up on his motorcycle, and then they have one of those pretend fights that's supposed to be bantery, and then she ends up getting on his motorcycle, and then it starts raining really hard, and it's getting too dangerous, so he pulls over, they go into the Sound of Music gazebo,
yes.
Then they have this whole conversation where she is literally belly button level with him,
yeah.
And then they kiss, and then they can't kiss, because it's her best friend, and she doesn't want to be just one of his makeout girls, and then they get caught by the caretaker, because he brings girls there all the time, and then she goes home. And we see that she has made a PowerPoint pros and cons list.
Correct.
Of reasons to date or not date this brother. The all pros. Right. This is the second or the first place that we paused it. This is the first place that we paused it.
This is the first place we paused it. Please, American Jezebel, what would be the pros of dating?
I had to write it down. The pros.
Because they have to be long. There's got to be a lot of really significant reasons.
Mm-hmm. Because the pros are hot, all caps.
Okay.
Good kisser. Huh. Keep in mind, she's kissed nobody else before this moment.
Best kisser she's ever kissed.
Yeah, the only one, and it was an hour ago. And third thing on the pros list, smells yummy.
Fourth thing?
Oh, that was it. That was the whole list.
Yeah. Okay, three reasons to date Noah Flynn.
Hot, good kisser, solid smells yummy. Reasons. Really solid. Okay, you ready for the cons?
Cons, there must
There's
be
probably only a couple of those.
One or two.
Yeah, okay, ready?
What could be possibly wrong with this psycho...
Okay, ready? Lee forbids it.
Oh, yeah, yes. Rule number 9.
Oof. It will be a significant barrier in her friendship with the only person she seems to be real friends with.
Correct.
Okay, that's a
good
stupid motorcycle.
It is stupid.
It is. Yeah. Okay. She just wrote dad, which I think means Crawdad does not like Noah.
Crawdad does
Shockingly, he does not like the kid who
beats up everybody.
Beats other people up and, just constantly gets in fights, has significant anger issues,
and
doesn't seem to respect women.
Girlfriend, yeah, just does not. Okay, dad does not like
Crawdad is not in favor of it.
No, Crawdad does not like that.
Actually, there's a couple more cons.
Oh.
Shockingly, yeah. All we do is fight.
Oh.
And the last one is he's a player.
He's a play. All caps?
I think it was all caps.
I believe it was all caps.
There's a lot of all caps.
Okay. So there's 5 cons and 3 pros. And the 3 pros are hot, good kisser, smells yummy. Solid relationship. I can see it. It's going to happen. These two are meant to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they're up at the Hollywood sign.
Up at the Hollywood sign. He's good.
Yeah. Because he tells her this is the only, that he goes here alone.
Yeah.
Which another thing, have you ever been up to the Hollywood sign?
Well, as it turns out, we went to LA recently and we were staying.
We want to shout out Inclusive.
In,
we use Inclusive, I-N-N.
A current sponsor of.
Maybe they are a future sponsor. Yes.
It was a lovely stay we had. And Mina and
Nick,
just a fabulous time with them. And I decided to run to the Hollywood sign because it wouldn't be that far. You know, it would be like 3 miles to run to the bottom of it and then another mile or so up the mountain. So I ran to the bottom. You cannot access it from the bottom. So I ran to Forest Lawn, the cemetery. You cannot access it from Forest Lawn. So I ran back to the other side. You cannot go up to the road where the apartments are and access it. So then I ran to the top of the hill hoping to come around the backside of it. It's really difficult now to access the Hollywood sign. So I ran about 12 miles that morning trying to access the Hollywood sign. And I was not jogging. I was running. I ran down the MMA guy who was very upset that I ran him down and said, try to keep up, man. And I said, I think I will.
So it turns out it actually is difficult to access the Hollywood sign.
It's difficult.
At night, if you're a teen.
In the day, if you're a runner.
Except if your dad is Hollywood's biggest porn producer.
And owns all that private
exactly.
land.
Exactly. Yeah, so. I'm thinking his dad owns the Hollywood sign.
So we're putting
sign.
It together a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, we really are. I think it's starting to make a little bit more sense. Still none, but a little bit more. So they're up with the Hollywood sign. He's good. He's romancing her.
And she says, okay, what the heck, I'll kiss him.
And they apparently spend the night under the Hollywood sign.
They spend the night up there. So she has gone from kissing...
24 hours earlier.
24 hours. Never had a boyfriend to just full on. So the next montage of scenes is them keeping their relationship secret as they just do it anywhere they can. In his room, in her room, in the chemistry room.
And then he teaches her to ride his motorcycle.
Oh,
there's lots of more amazing physical comedy of them hiding their romance if they see people they know.
So we have all of that.
Oh my God. Oh, there's so much.
Then eventually she's helping him with the motorcycle. She says, give me that ranch, it's on the top shelf. And so, of course, you send the smallest person to stand on a bunch of boxes to get a ranch while you're just sitting there looking at a spark plug.
And, of course, Pratt falls.
Pratt falls. She falls. She hurts herself. Oh, well, he takes her inside, and he starts doctoring her up because she's cut on her face. And she said, how do you know? Well, I've been in a lot of fights. What? Yeah, I had to go to therapy because I fight so much, but we're all fucked up somewhere. And... then the brother walks in, Lee, the star by far. What is going on? Go ahead.
And then he says,
Jezebel,
did you do that to her? About the cut on her face.
Did he hit you?
And then, yeah, he says, did he hit you?
Did you do this to her?
And then the brother gets super mad.
Yeah.
And says, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. And she's saying, oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. And then... What happens after?
It's a whole big thing. He didn't do it. Let's go outside. You can take me here. Like, I go get my things. I go back inside. I smooch with him. The brother comes in, catches him smooching. You both lied to me. I'll go back outside. A fight ensues.
Yeah.
And then she's mad at both of them. And so Noah gets on his motorcycle
and rides away. Even though he was
2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's gone for two weeks.
And she says he was in danger of not graduating because he was gone for so long.
And he's just told her that, don't tell anybody, but I got into Harvard.
Yeah. He's just gone into Harvard, but now disappears for 2 weeks and is also shown to have serious issues. Like, not that you can't get into Harvard if you have serious issues, but like,
but
opened a book once. There's no indication at any other point in the movie that he has any kind of skills besides maybe football, but we never see him play football. He just wears a lot of football gear.
But he's actually, I guess he's good. Maybe
I guess
he's
good enough to get into Harvard.
He got a college scholarship to play at
Harvard.
And
also his dad probably donated some money.
Yeah,
porn I'm thinking money. It was those two things.
Yeah, porn money. That's what, that's what Harvard's endowment is built on.
Yep.
What would Mike Birbiglia say?
We're breaking it wide open.
What would Mike Birbiglia say? Fuck you, Harvard. Fuck you. Yeah, Mike, you're listening to the show, too. We're with you. Oh. Harvard, you got an endowment.
So the brother disappeared. Noah disappears for 2 weeks from school. And then she has this conversation with the star by far, Joel Courtney, Lee, who seems to react in ways that are, like, normal. He's, like, actually a character in this movie.
He cares for her.
And he cares for her, and he's so upset. Because, first of all, she has broken a key rule in their friendship.
Rule number 9.
And then lied to his face about it.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yes.
Just lied to his face and then goes back in and kisses the brother and he catches them right afterwards.
Yes.
And he says to her, you know, all my life, Noah has gotten everything he's ever wanted.
Yes.
The only thing I had that was not his was you. And now he has that too. And we've also seen Noah be, like, physical, you know, beat up his brother. You know, I'm sure he's the little brother, his older brothers, you know. Yeah, he's literally gotten everything he's ever wanted in life.
Yep.
And he's taken the only thing that Lee ever had that was his.
Yes.
Which, again, you know, saying that she is his, you know, is, you know, he's...
I think in the movie he was actually saying my friendship with you.
I think he was because it is tearing apart their friendship.
Yes.
Not that he possesses her.
No, he has no aspirations for her.
And he doesn't ever behave as though he's possessive of her, even in their friendship.
No.
Because I was going to say he's a real ducky in this situation.
He is a ducky. Yeah.
But he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the annoying habits that Ducky does if you rewatch Pretty in Pink, where Ducky behaves terribly when she gives attention to other people.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's supportive of her when she has when she goes on the date with the other guy.
Yep.
All of these things.
He's Ducky's higher self.
He is. Yes. He is. He's Ducky 2.0. Yeah. Yes. He's the 2018 Ducky who is not possessive.
The star by
far. He is the star by far.
And you'll be able to buy those t-shirts in our shop. Anyway.
So he's a total Ducky in that way.
Yeah.
And he's not being, but not possessive of her. And.
Okay. So they go to prom. There's all the photos that yearbook guy has taken, and yearbook guy has put together this great art display of his photos.
It really was. It's too bad he doesn't have a name that we could give him credit for.
And the amazing thing is there's only like 3 people at the school because all the photos are of Elle, Noah, or Carjuicy.
Yeah.
I think those are the only ones. And then at the prom, the British accented student council president says, we're at a place between who we were and who we are going to be. She calls out the liminal place. Oh my God. It brought the movie up 0.1, 0.1 kissing boost on my rating system just from that line. She nearly made the movie right there. She should have her own movie. And then they go and they see the kissing booth and he comes and he professes his love. He's leaving the day after prom for Harvard. We're not clear. What, Jason, what are the rules?
What are the rules of this movie? It's traditional to leave for a college the day after prom.
And before graduation.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And so then time disappears again and they're having their birthday. And I'm not really sure when their birthday is, but they're having a costume party for their birthday. Yeah.
And again, everybody from the school is there.
Everyone is there in costume, just killing it on the costumes, except for his girlfriend, who's sexy maid. I don't know what she's doing. Anyway, and then he and Elle have this heart-to-heart, and she said, if I have to choose between my friendship with you and my love for Noah, I would choose my love for Noah. And then he says, okay, rule number 18, or whatever, which is you always celebrate your bestie's successes. And so he says, you go down, I'll let you drive the car, we got to go find Noah. And he goes upstairs, and he's dressed like Batman. And so she gets in the car with Batman, who is now wearing his full costume once again. And he's got his mask on and everything. And she's saying, I should have told him, should have told Noah I loved him, and blah, 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 blah. And then he pulls off the mask, and it's Noah. And he said, you already did.
And I think it's supposed to be this really, like, triumphant romantic moment.
Again,
I don't think I've ever laughed as hard as I did at that moment.
We literally screamed. What? Because number one, Noah is like 10 inches taller than his brother.
He's enormous.
He's enormous. There is no way you would not. Again, it's just like space-time continuum has warped. Then they have this whirlwind romance. And they go to. She goes to take him to the airport. Then she. Oh, I forgot the part at the prom where she said, I realized the kissing booth was something more than me. It meant something to people. It was important to a great many people. And so then she said, you know, I don't know what happened with Noah and I, but I'll know that he always has a part of my heart. And I think it's all because of the kissing booth. Okay, what's the takeaway?
Let's talk about the takeaway.
Do we have time for the takeaway?
We have to have time for this takeaway.
Okay.
Because this is why this movie is just like every moment of it.
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, so I woke up this morning after having slept on the movie thinking, if I could see this movie from the yearbook guy's perspective, how would I see her? So I show up for my junior year, and here she comes wearing this skirt that shows her lady bumps. And then she does a striptease in the locker room. And then she does a striptease on the pool table. And then she's dating Noah, the player. My opinion of her would have changed dramatically from what it was the previous year. And then at the end, she has become him. And so all those people out there, they say, oh, this is such a cute little thing. No.
It's not a cute movie.
No, she has become him. She's completely devoid of anything beyond herself. And all she is now is a good kisser, supposedly hot, because every time she takes off her clothes, everybody's like, ooh, right? And I don't know how she smells, right?
The three pros.
Yeah, the three things that she most wants to be, now she has them. And she tosses her friend aside, who'll still stay by her because he's a good, decent human being, right? But she tosses him aside because, you know, it's going to ruin her friendship with Lee. Whatever. Get it out of here. It's going to ruin my relationship with my dad. Whatever. Get it out of here. You know, all I want to be is him. So now she has his motorcycle, and she's become him. Mm. A completely empty shell of a person who just uses other people for, you know, physical gratification, whether she's a, you know, I don't know if she's going to fight like him, but you beat him up physically or you use them sexually. That is what she's become. And so in the vein of this podcast, where me as a father, I look at this movie and say, what's the message to young girls? Mm-hmm. The message is use your sex to completely use other people for your own physical gratification. That's why this movie is so reprehensible to me. Mm-hmm. It's bundled up in this cute little package of physical mishaps and, you know, misinterpretations and hidden crushes and forbidden and romance.
Knockoff stereotypes of high school.
And just complete knockoffs. Not even give the people a name, because the yearbook guy doesn't deserve a name because he is not yummy or kissable or whatever. So don't even give him a name because he's not even a human. And so the message is become that, which is totally reprehensible to me.
Yes. And him, yes, that's the message to women.
This movie is geared towards young women.
It's geared towards young women.
And the message to young women is that.
And then the message is, as well, you know, to be like him and to want someone like him, to want to date someone like him, too.
Yes.
To be like that and then to want to date somebody who, as you know, put that, who, you know, it's all about that physical gratification. Somebody who has... we don't know anything about him.
Yes.
Besides those three things.
No, that's why it's absolutely shocking when he gets into Harvard, because...
So be him and also want to be with someone like that.
Correct.
Those are romantic behaviors.
Correct. That's cute and sweet and...
And they couch it all around, oh, it's Elle's choice.
Yes.
But no one ever says, maybe you're not making the right choices. Anyway.
So.
That's the message of this movie. And that's why, that is why our entire rating system for movies is based on an exponential kissing booth scale.
Correct.
Because this isn't just like a bad movie.
No.
This is, I think you put it well when you said a reprehensible movie.
Yes.
And again, it's the same thing. I think people just watch it and you can watch it and let it wash over you. And then you come away with it with no impression. Oh, it was a cute movie and people kiss and it's high school and romance.
Yes.
But if you think about it for 2 seconds, it crumbles.
Yes. That is a problem. Awake people must be awake.
Yes.
Yes. Or following the wrong god home, we may lose our star. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A ritual to read to each other. And so, you dear, dear listeners, if you have not watched the movie, don't watch it. If you have, be awake to it and let everybody else know. This is not what we want for the young women in this world. And that's why I find it so just horrific. Because the message is hidden in all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And the message is not a good message.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to pitch a car to a narco-syndicalist?
I think so. There were a lot of cars in this movie.
There were a lot of cars in this movie.
Well, there was one good car.
Yeah, by far
again,
the star.
Again, by far the star.
Drives a great car.
Has a good car.
Yeah.
So let's pitch a car.
Okay. Got to pitch another car to the anarcho-syndicalist.
Yes, the anarcho-syndicalist needs another car pitch.
Yeah, and so this week I'd like to pitch him on a 1975 International Harvester Scout. And so I don't know anything about these other than Bobcat Doug and Grizzly G. Okay, now that we've pitched the car to the anarcho-syndicalist, we need to rate it. Would you like to go first? This is an easy one.
This is an
easy
one.
So, Debbie, don't call us to correct our math.
No.
We got this one locked in.
I honestly want to give, thinking about it again and what we've talked about, I want to give it less than a kissing booth.
Yeah.
We really, like we said, you can't get negative kissing booths on the scale. And I stand by that.
Yes.
I do want to kind of give it like point something kissing booths.
Yes.
Is the lowest I can give it one kissing booth. I think I'll give it a kissing booth because that just says exactly how low that rating is.
It would be 0 stars.
Zero stars.
And I don't think we would give negative stars.
No, we don't want to give negative stars.
Because we want to.
But it is 0 stars.
You could give negative stars and then, Debbie, if you're listening for our math, you know, it would be point something, whatever,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. But I think I have to give the kissing booth one kissing booth because it is setting the bar for how low we can go.
Yes. And I'm going to give it 1.1 stars.
Oh, yeah. What did you give it 0.1 for?
The British Student Council leader
who said,
this is a liminal space. And so she didn't actually say that, but she did.
She did.
And so I've given it 0.1 exponential. So...
We're going to keep rating things on the kissing booth scale, but if I never have to think about this movie except to warn others about it,
yes,
I will be happy.
Yes.
I just...
We might have to get a t-shirt that says, stay out of the kissing booth.
Stay out of the kissing booth.
Stay out of the kissing booth. Another podcast cross-reference. Okay. Let's wrap her up here. We're not going to talk about Enjoycha, our other sponsor.
Oh, we are, but we are going to talk about our movie for 2 weeks from now.
Oh, thank you. 2 weeks from now.
It can only go up from here.
Yes.
So our movie for in next 2 weeks from today.
Yes.
We will be reviewing The Spectacular Now.
The Spectacular
Now. I'm pretty sure it's still on Netflix.
Yes.
It is not a Netflix original. It was a big budget. Well, not big budget, but it was a studio film that was in theaters.
Okay.
I don't know what year it was, but yes, it was originally, it's adapted from a YA novel, as far as I know. Yeah, starring Shailene Woodley and Miles Teller.
Nicely done.
So, and some other exciting actors pop up as well. We'll have to talk about that too.
Okay.
But yeah, so join us in 2 weeks for The Spectacular Now.
The Spectacular Now. All right. And who's up for talking nonsense?
Thanks for talking nonsense.